draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Dear Heavenly Father, we just honor you today. And sometimes we do wonder, we need your help knowing you're near us. Sometimes we feel like we're abandoned and we don't know what to do, Lord. But that's why you said, I'll leave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, this morning we seek the Holy Spirit. We seek His comfort and His guidance. Lord, we just praise you and honor you today, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you be with the ones who are sick and can't be here. Lord, help heal this nation. Lord, I pray for this community. Lord, I pray for my friend, his family, the McKinneys. Lord, you comfort them this morning. Lord, I just pray that you help this church, this family, come together, united for one cause, and that's to live for you. Lord, we praise you this morning. We honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
I thought about all week, you know, about what I would say in watching the memorials of 9/11, and it really touched me to remember that and to see where our nation came together. People who wouldn't get together, you know, or you know, argued and fussed and fought most any other day, but on that day, they came together for the same cause, the same purpose. That was just to help each other. You know, as Christians, we live with a great truth that we live in two worlds. And we live as a part of our society that is fallen and sinful and hostile to the God that created us. That's the world we live in. We also live as citizens of heaven whose real home is with God for eternity. But we live here in this world as His ambassadors. Paul tells us that while we live here, we are to stand together. We are to fight together. And he reminds us that we're in this together. In Philippians 1, 27 and 30, it says this, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and I pray that your word be heard this morning. Lord, let your word speak through me. Lord, I pray that let nothing here hinder your word from being spoken or being heard. Lord, let it not fall on deaf ears. Lord, let our hearts be opened to receive it. Lord, let our minds be cleared of all the clutter that may distract us. Lord, let nothing break us apart. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We live as God's ambassadors in a fallen world, and while we are here, we must stand together in unity. Paul tells us to stand together here in this scripture, standing side by side. And if you've ever been in a foreign country, and you'll be familiar with this, and you feel out of place, you feel like everybody's watching you. It's uncomfortable because you feel like, you know, they know that you're an American, and it makes you feel out of place, like you don't belong there. You know, that's very similar to what it's like to be a Christian. It's what it should be like. It's uncomfortable to live in this world that we're in. It's because of this sense that everyone is watching that's why Paul tells the Philippians this, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ." Paul is saying that they live in two worlds. They are citizens of Rome by virtue of the fact that they live in Philippi, just like we do, we live here in Anna. We're citizens of America because we live here in America. This was something that they felt very proud of because Caesar had pretty much ordained that place as being something special. And they felt proud of that because they had Caesar on, you know, as this was his place that he loved. But on the other hand, they were citizens of heaven. What he's saying is, here is live where you're at, but do it in a manner worthy as a citizen of heaven. Because we're here to represent. So you live where you're at, whether it's in Anna or whether it's in Dongola or whether it's in Cobden or wherever else it is, in Union County that we live, or in just living here in America. We live here, but we are representatives of Jesus Christ. We live as we don't belong here. We live as we should be worthy to be called citizens of heaven. Paul had prayed for them in verses 9 through 11, and he is now insisting that they put it into practice what he was saying. Paul is referring here is what is taught by throughout the Scripture, really, throughout the Gospel. There is more to the Christian life than just being saved. We have to live it out on a daily basis where we're at. We have to show people here in Anna who we are. And that we're Christians. We love God. We love Christ. And we belong in heaven, but we're here. Paul talks about standing together. He says, "Then whether I come or see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side." You know, this phrase, standing side by side, is translated, literally translated, standing in one spirit. We are in one spirit. And Paul says this, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." Amen. You know, it's impossible for a group of Christians, a group of believers, a church, it's impossible for us to stand together without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. We can't do it alone. The Holy Spirit is the source of our unity. Only by standing in one spirit can we have any hope of unity. Then Paul gives the reason for our standing together. He says, "Fighting together for the faith, which is in the is the good news." The reason that we need to stand in one spirit is so that we can fight together for the faith, which is the good news. We fight together. The word "fight" in the Greek is really athleo, which is where we get the English word for athlete. And it means to engage in athletic contest, in an athletic contest. You know, we know that athletes will talk about fighting together in sporting events, and we hear them talk about how they're really warriors. You know, we see that in football, we see that in basketball, when the cheerleaders are saying, "Fight, fight, fight to win." Shouldn't we do that? Shouldn't we fight to win? Shouldn't we get up every morning and put our war paint on? Amen. We should get up and put on the armor of God. Amen. Every morning. That's our battle armor. We should get ready for the fight. Wouldn't it be awesome if each one of us would get up on Sunday morning and put the armor on and get excited about coming to church so that we could come together, standing together, fighting together for this community, for the lost in this community, for the ones that are sick, that need healed, fighting for this nation, that God may touch it and heal it. The only way we can survive in a hostile world is to stand together as a family. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." When we come together, when we stand together and we stand side by side and we fight together, we're strong. There are many forces against us. We have our enemy, the devil, of course, always. We have an increasingly sinful and godless society that we deal with. And by ourselves, we are doomed to failure because we can't do it on our own. But as a family, as God's family, we cannot be defeated. We cannot be defeated. So I say, let us stand together when the enemy comes against us. Let us stand together when society comes against us. And let us stand together when circumstances come against us. And let nothing break us. And can I ask you to stand together with us, or together this morning? Can we do that? Amen. Paul says again, we need to fight together and don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Paul says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Sometimes we let the world and our bullies around us get the best of us, don't we? And he said, don't be intimidated by your enemies in any way. You know, there were people at that time putting a lot of pressure on the Philippian church because of their allegiance had been given over to a new Lord, and that was Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ who had been executed by Rome, by the Roman government. And I say, don't let opposition startle you and frighten you away from your faith and the church. But stand firm in unity. In the unity of the Spirit and the purpose, strive for a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul goes on to say, this will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, that you're going to be saved, even by God Himself. Paul is encouraging the Philippian believers to live with the same attitude that he does, that living is for Christ and dying would be even better. That's what Paul said. Dying is my gain. But I'll live here as long as he keeps me here. And I'll preach and encourage. That's what Paul did even when he was in prison. He was in chains here under house arrest. And yet he was still writing letters of encouragement. I want to be that person, encouraging each and every one of you, no matter what's going on around me. How many would support their pastor if he was in prison? Amen. I'm proud of my pastor, man. He's in jail. See, that was Paul, because he wasn't in jail for doing something sinfully stupid. He was being in jail for preaching Jesus Christ. And that was it. Sharing the gospel when they told him not to. Beat him up, throw him back out on the street, and he'd just start preaching again. Man. Anyone who lives with this type of mindset, nothing can defeat you spiritually. Your enemies will see it. You know, to have the assurance that to leave this world means to be with Christ in eternity. Do you know that today? You know that in your heart without a doubt? That if you leave this earth today, if something happens to you today, that there's no doubt in your heart that you'll be in eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen? I have that in my heart. I believe that with no doubt. I hope you do today. Today Jesus has drawn a line in the sand and he asked you and I to cross it. He's just wanting us as a church, he's wanting you to stand together in unity with him. We are called to defend the faith entrusted to us. In Jude 1, verse 3, it says, "Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His holy people." We defend the faith. I defend my faith. You know, there's many bullies in this world. They're attacking the church of Jesus every day, and we see this opposition growing. I shared with the Wednesday night crowd that the first time in my lifetime I watched it on the news where they held the church of the satanic church as an equal to the Christian church. And that happened over the abortion thing because the Satanic Church come out and said that they support the abortion as part of their worship. And it's the first time, and I knew right then, it did. You know, I was like, man, that's the first time I've saw it put inequality. Where's our world going? But you know, I shouldn't be surprised because of what the gospel says. What did Jesus tell us? You know, there's many bullies in this world. There's the intellectual community and the evolutionists that are attacking us. The political liberal community is attacking us. The media is attacking us. The gay and lesbian agenda is attacking us. But we must not let them intimidate us. We must stand strong against them. We must defend the truth of the Scripture, and we must defend the truth of the gospel, and we must defend our faith. Amen? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail it. Do you believe that? Amen? Paul says that we're in this together. We're in this together. We are all in this struggle together. Let me tell you, it's a struggle days. We are concerned about what's going on in America today. It concerns us. The reality of the Christian faith is that since they persecuted Jesus, they will also persecute us. Let me tell you, those trying to intimidate us is the reason enough for us to realize that the Christian life will not always be an easy one. It's not. The inevitable truth of the gospel is that we will at times have to suffer. This is the reason we must stand together and fight together. It's why I need my church family. We come together in one accord to support each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, not tear each other apart. We fight together. We stand together. Paul reminds us when he says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him." So since we're given the privilege of believing in Christ, it is this life's greatest gift. Unfortunately, Paul says that it's a privilege to suffer for Christ as well. And most of us don't like to hear that. We love the gift. We like the grace, and we like to think about that. We like to think about the blessings and the happy things, but when it comes to that part of suffering, we don't like to hear that. I think about how many blessings that the disciples were so privileged to be involved in, the healings and all that they got to see and do, but yet be martyred. They suffered for Christ. Sometimes we get aggravated at just little things that make us uncomfortable. And we think that, oh, we're suffering. But Jesus was persecuted, then we will be persecuted also. I remember the attitude of Peter and John in Acts 5:41, where it says, "The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer the disgrace for the name of Jesus." Amen. And Paul, he gives us some encouragement when he says, "We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it." You know, Paul encourages them. You know, he says, I'm in this too. You've seen what I've gone through, and I know what you're going through. You know, he starts out by saying that they are not alone in this struggle, but that he himself is right there in the struggle with them. We all go through this together, is what he's saying. We're all in this together. You know, this was the place here, what Paul is talking about, where he was in prison for setting a slave girl free from demon possession. That's why he was put in jail. He also reminds them that he is still suffering because he is writing this letter from house arrest in Rome. And he's saying, I'm truly with you. We're going through this together. Paul. Our unity. How we stand together. How we fight together. How we suffer together. Will show the world that we are in this together. When a church comes together and fights together and stands together and prays together and holds each other up, the community sees that. And it shows our faith. It shows who we are. John 17:23 says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Amen. We can only reach the world by being unified. We cannot let small and insignificant things separate us. Sometimes we get caught up in these little things. We can't let anything come between us. Amen. We can't let anything come between us. We're a family. We're God's family. Amen? We must maintain that unity in one spirit. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit. None of us can do it alone. And that's why I say we need each other. I need you. I need you. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need your encouragement. Just like you need mine. We're in this together. We're in this together. And we can't let anything defeat or change that fact. As Christians, we live with a great truth that we live in two worlds. We live as a part of our society that is fallen and sinful and hostile to the God that created us. We also live as citizens of heaven whose real home is with God for eternity. But we live here in this world as His ambassadors. And Paul tells us that while we live here, we are to stand together. Listen to this morning. While we're here as His ambassadors, as His example to this world, that's who we are. You're an example of Christ if you're a believer this morning. You're to live as an example to Christ, and that's not always easy. We're to stand together. We're to fight together. And remember, we're in this together. And I hope this morning that we're all standing together. We can stand together in heaven one of these days, praising and worshiping our great Creator. Amen. I want to close with a prayer or with a poem this morning. It goes like this. When you walk in two worlds, hold your head up high. When you walk in two worlds, keep your sights to the sky. Remember you're in this place, but of another race. You move to a different pace. The drumbeat of the sky, walking in two worlds. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit take control and be in complete control of each and every one of us today. Lord, let our hearts be filled with your mercy and your grace and your love, but also the understanding that we need each other. We need each other standing side by side, in unity, Lord, in one accord, with the same mindset, and that focus is on you, worshiping you and being your ambassador in this fallen world. Lord, we are not citizens of this world. Lord, we long to see our home, which is in heaven. Lord, I pray for that day. I can't wait for that day, Lord, when I can see you face to face. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Keep us safe, Lord. Lord, I pray for this sickness to be gone. Lord, let it be gone. Let it not hinder any one of us any longer. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.